Everybody, it is February 21st, 2020, and welcome to Yoga for Entrepreneurs. So happy to be with you here today. It's going to be a fantastic day. We've only done this once before in this community in the 10 years of its existence, and we did such an outstanding job that we're doing it three times this year. So this is the first of three times that we're getting together like this in 2020. And so this is unprecedented. It's never been done before, this setting up of a series of three day-long workshops. And I know that I'm so excited about it that I've had to practice letting go myself. Letting go of attachment of how today goes, letting go of whatever happens, because I'm just so super stoked about what we're doing today. So we're going to begin in Shavasana. Shavasana is such a powerful, powerful practice to gather the energy, to find that calm space, to center ourselves for our day. And in the midst of, for me, a computer screen that's not working the way it's supposed to, and then my super excitement about our day, I'm really glad about this Shavasana time together. So hopefully you've booked aside your whole day. I'll tell you more about the structure of it and what's going to happen in just a few minutes or after our Shavasana practice. Let's begin as we do in Shavasana. So it starts first with finding a comfortable space for yourself. So hopefully you're not driving today. Hopefully you've got some time to be with us in an unbroken way, but whatever way you're hearing my voice, if you're listening to a recording, if you're driving, please pull over. And hopefully you're in a quiet space where you can close the door, where you can be undisturbed, and you can find a place to lie down where you're not bumping into stuff. So give yourself space. Today you're going to get to see my yoga space where I practice every day. We're going to do that you'll see that in the second block today. For now, find your space where there's quiet, where there's ease, where there's spaciousness for you to lie down and just focus on the breath. So lie on your back and bend the knees. Place your feet firmly on the floor, lift the buttocks, and then use the hands to take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. Make space through the low back. Then release the buttocks to the floor. Extend one leg out and then the other. And when you do so, slide the heel along the floor. You'll find greater groundedness and greater extension when you do so. So sliding one heel along the floor, then the other heel along the floor. Then let the legs be a comfortable distance apart as you let the baby toes drop to the earth, the rest of the toes following. So the legs are in a turned out but comfortable position. The hips are comfortable. The legs are comfortable. You're neither splayed out, so losing your energy by too much extension, like too much, you know, breath, nor are you too close together where there's confinement. So take the time to find that comfortable space for you. Sometimes it's an inch further apart, an inch closer together, where the legs feel comfortable and the hips are at ease. Then hopefully you have something to support the head nearby you. A blanket or a folded blanket is usually best, but a pillow would work too. Whatever you've got around you, place the support beneath the head and neck. And the support should be touching the shoulders, but not go beneath. Then bend the elbows and dig the elbows into the floor. So press into the elbows, lift and open the heart center, and then release the arms to the earth. Feel the opening of the shoulders. The shoulders are rolling back and down. If you're not sure that that's happening, do that action again. Dig the elbows in. Lift and open the chest, the shoulders roll back and down, and then release the arms down. And just notice if that has shifted the positioning of the head support. You might need to just gently, keeping the chest open, adjust the head support again so it's touching the shoulders. And these tiny movements, this tiny paying attention to the details, that all matters, because when we pay attention to those details, we find a place that has much more relaxation, much more ease, and we can drop into that quiet space so much more easily. So pay attention to the details. Are you comfortable? Softly close the eyes if you haven't yet. Now scan the body for any tension. Notice what it is you have produced. As entrepreneurs, we produce things in the world. Do we take a moment to look at what is and adjust as needed? If we're not doing it here, we won't do it out there. If we're doing it here, we'll pay attention to the details out there. Are you comfortable? How's the back? How do the legs feel? The hips, the abdomen, the chest, the shoulders. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot. And let it go. If that spot still holds tension, do you need to change your posture in some way to be comfortable? Maybe the legs up on a couch, to let that low back relax. Sometimes, depending on what's going on, we even practice Shavasana on our sides or even on our stomachs as needed. Pregnant women practice on their sides. So take the time to be comfortable. Take the time to notice. Usually we practice on our backs when we can, but other positions are also possible. Are you taking care of yourself? So make the adjustments and then scan the body. Find each place of tension one by one. Breathe into that spot and let it go. In yoga, in the postures, we work from the base up. We see what's happening in the feet, the legs, the hips, the abdomen, the chest, the head. If we're in an upright position, we work always from that base up. In Shavasana, we're going to do the same today, focusing one by one and letting the tension go, letting it be replaced by ease and breath. Beginning with the feet. Relax the feet. Feel the arches of the feet relaxing. Relax the heels. Relax the toes. Our feet carry us everywhere through the day. And how often do we stop and feel gratitude toward them for carrying us? Letting gratitude arise, if it does, for those feet that have carried you so many miles. And letting them rest now. Let the feet be at ease. Relax the calves. If we walk a lot in the day, if we're sitting a lot, our calves can get sore and achy. They carry us too. Let the calves release right now. Feel those big muscles of the calves relaxing and releasing, being supported by the earth. Let the calves rest. Let the shins rest. Feel them releasing toward the earth. Relax the knees. Feel softening at the knees. Relax the thighs. Let the thighs sink deeply into the floor. Let them sink toward the earth. Let them go. Relax the hips and buttocks. Feel the support of the floor or the mat or the rug or the props beneath you. Maybe you've got a blanket underneath you if you need that for comfort. Again, try that. You can try it later today if you want. Relax the buttocks and hips. Feel the tension releasing. And feel the abdomen soften. Soften the skin of the abdomen and the muscles beneath. And can you notice how the jaw tends to relax at the same time and there's more spaciousness in the mouth? Abdomen and cavity of the mouth connected. Relax the abdomen. Feel spaciousness in the mouth. Whole body is connected. Release. Just let go. Relax the low back, mid back, upper back. Feel as I say those words, let all the muscles release. Feel ease. Relax the chest. Notice how as each part of the body becomes heavier, more earthbound, moving earthward from the pull of gravity, that the chest remains light. Notice that. With each breath, more ease. Now feel softness at the centers of the palms. When we place our attention at the palms, sometimes we can feel a tingling aliveness there, just through the attention there. Can you feel that? No judgment. If you do, you don't, doesn't matter, but just notice. Tingling aliveness at the centers of the palms. Palms relax. And notice the position of the fingers. When there's tension in the body, the fingers are straight out, poker straight. Tension in the hands. They're like telltale signs. Can you let the fingers go? First observe what is without judgment. Are you holding tension? Is it visible in the fingers? And then you don't need to try to curl the fingers. When the tension releases, the fingers naturally curl. Observe that. Then again, feel that softness in the centers of the palms, a tingling aliveness. Let that softness travel up. Feel softness in the forearms, in the elbows, releasing the elbows. Release the upper arms. Relax the shoulders. Feel softness there. Feel breadth and ease across the collarbones. Feel the ease of breath that happens when there's softness and spaciousness. Soften the back of the neck. Place your attention there. Have you been holding tension without noticing? Relax the back of the neck. Let it go. soften the throat. And swallow, and as you swallow, feel the softness that comes to the throat. Spaciousness. Ease. Soften the skin of the face. Relax all the tiny muscles of the face, let them go. Notice that we often hold our faces in a particular expression for the world, tiny muscles holding on. There's an expression we hold for our families. Let that face go, not needed in Shavasana. Feel the release of that face, that mask we carry. No family face needed here. There's a face we hold for those we serve, those we work with, clients, team members. Vendors, other work relationships. Let that face go too. Feel it releasing. There's a face we hold for politics, for the broader world outside. Let that go too. Feel the face softening, feel ease. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. If it's comfortable, behind closed eyes, the gaze is softly toward the heart center. If that's not comfortable, the gaze can be higher than that, it's okay. Gaze softly down behind closed eyes if that's comfortable. The eyes again sink back toward the back brain. Now feel as though the ears are receding toward the back brain as well, so that ears and eyes meet at a point toward the back brain. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses, go inward. Watch the breath. Feel the breath. Let yourself be breathed by the universe. No effort, no self, no doing. Simply allowing the breath to happen. And as you observe the breath, let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Bend the knees, slowly roll over onto the right side. Support your head with your upper arm and wait. Ease here. When you open your eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused. Just a few inches ahead of you on the carpet or floor. Keeping your gaze toward the floor. Keeping that same quiet energy. Use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. Join our virtual circle for this, our first ever one in a series of three Yoga for Entrepreneurs virtual retreat day. So happy to be here with you today. Returning to camera on whenever you can. Especially today of all days. Hi, Lindsay. See you first. Hi, Dottie. Great to see you. Today of all days, wanting that presence, that awareness, that full presence in one place. If we don't train it today, it's like, when else will we do it, right? Give this gift of this day to yourself. One of the things we have in Yoga for Entrepreneurs is spaciousness for a depth, a greater depth of yoga practice, of Shavasana practice to begin. So I'd love to hear from a few of you. What was this practice for you today? What did you love here? We're not quite a half an hour in. So that was our most extended yoga practice together, Shavasana practice, since Mexico, okay, I guess, for those who are in Mexico, and for some of us, ever. What did you love here? What stays with you? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, the part where you sit to gaze down to your heart, and that was scary to gaze to my left side of my heart. And I realized that that part was shut down quite a bit. Mm. So I just watched that. I'm getting to the part I loved.
But that's observation. That's beautiful, right? Just noticing is beautiful too.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, well, this is plenty. And then it got... I think I just shifted my head over to the right, and there was just more space there, and then I could look, and this side of my heart could also look out. Mm. That was more than that was way more than I initially anticipated. That was really good. I didn't even anticipate, but
I love that. Thank you, Mary Kay. The subtle layers of this practice go deeper and deeper and deeper, and they get built on whatever other internal arts that you've practiced. For some of you, not at all. For some of you, years or decades, no judgment. It all, wherever you are, is your practice. And as we continue to practice this, there are more and more subtle levels that appear. And I mentioned some of you might have been on the stories that Saul call. When did I do that? Last week. Some of you may have been there. And I mentioned Trish, who is a member of our community. And it was, I believe it happened in the very same week. She had that first $5,000 sale. It happened really easily. She'd already invested, you know, well over six figures trying to do that in structures and systems. And we did some really simple shifts in her story and some really simple work. And you, if you were there, you remember that story. I mentioned it in Anatomy of an Empowering Story too. She, that first $5,000 sale, you know, driving home from an event, was like super easy. And at that same time, I mentioned that story here in conjunction with your comments, Mary Kay, because at that same time, that's when her, a practitioner she was working with, oh goodness, cranial sacral specialist. She'd been working with them for 19 months. And as she brought her hands to Trish, she's like, oh, something's changed. She knew immediately. And she'd never said anything like that before. It's like, your heart, it's softer. What have you been doing? So the connection between these subtle shifts that happen in our bodies and the outward events that happen that the world notices, they are more linked than I can say. And you might go, Michelle, that's really woo-woo. Michelle, what are you talking about? But when we open our hearts, when we're literally opening our hearts, things shift and change in us, and our stories are right in our bodies. And my PhD work did some of that work to investigate and understand how that works. And when we can find these releases, like I shift to the right and I find space, and I'm noticing that I can, you know, I can gaze to one to the right, but not to the left. And all of this shifts our lives and shifts our companies in ways that go beyond the words that I can express. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Love it. What did you love today? There might have been 99 things. It doesn't matter if it's your worst Shavasana ever. I don't care. It doesn't worst, best. It's all just relative. It doesn't matter. Like we want to create equanimity as well. Like that was a lovely one. Doesn't matter. That was beautiful. That was an awful one. Doesn't matter. But I can always find the thing that I love. Maybe it was your most outstanding one and the, you know, skies open. Whatever it was. What did you love today? Who would like to go next? Yeah, thank you, Lindsay.
So when we first started, my cleaning lady was still here and she was finishing up in the basement. And I started and I found myself like getting pulled away to like the sound of the vacuum and almost some frustration starting, but I was able to like just let it go and breathe back into it and get back into it and still enjoy it, even with those distractions happening the first few minutes. So It was good for me to see that even with distractions, I can bring myself back.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lindsay. I haven't told this story in a while. I tell it occasionally. It's a really lovely story. There's a meditation center. I don't even remember which one it was. I read about it probably 20 years ago. When they decided where to put their center, they intentionally put it on a really busy, loud street in New York. Because all fine and dandy when we can find quiet when we're, you know, a yogi in a cave all alone for 30 years or a lifetime or whatever. But most of us live, we all live in the real world. What is it when we can bring this quiet space that we carry it with us instead of needing it to be in the external world? Nice to practice in a quiet space when we can. But when that stuff is happening and we can find that quiet space. I can find that quiet. Thank you, Lindsay. Beautiful. And also, I love what you said about, well, at first it was distracting. And then Shavasana is a practice that I find, depending on what day it is, my mind will settle, sometimes drop right in. Sometimes it takes several minutes, sometimes more. Sometimes there's more restlessness, sometimes less. But in my real world anyway, I find that there's a deepening that happens after several minutes of quiet, of stillness. So if I'm afraid that, wow, those distractions, I'll never get around them, and then I give up on my practice, like give it some time, like we had the time and space today, and a dropping in can happen, not because we force it, not because we're trying, but because it is the effect of Shavasana. So lovely, distractions, whatever. And that's the real world. Today, my personal assistant is coming through part of our day. So I sent her a note this morning, like, there's going to be times when you can't be over here and it's going to need to be quiet. And she's going to be probably be out vacuuming in parts of the day when we're in here. And like, oh, well. And we can learn to create that still center inside. So it doesn't matter that all that's happening. That's amazing. I was so grateful for our day together today. My daughter's having a rough time right now. It's up and down. And yesterday and late last night, it was down. So I was there to help her. And to know that we had this oasis of yoga today, it was just like made me so happy. And Shavasana especially, it's such a beautiful practice. All right, let's hear one more. What did you love today in your practice? Every practice is different when we notice. This is our longest practice together. You might have found a deep restlessness, that's fine. But there's one thing you loved. You might have loved it and not noticed what was happening. Notice that. Yeah, Yvonne, thank you.
For the first time, I've been practicing yoga pretty consistently, like mainly Shavasana, and laying on the blocks since about October.
Wow. First, celebrate that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Since October.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is nice. I really enjoy it.
Fantastic.
And, but I haven't really done an extended version of the Shavasana. It's usually like 5 minutes, maybe eight. But then, you know, life kind of starts going again. So it was just really enjoyable to just be.
Mm. Thank you. Love that. And right on the heels of we were talking about that pause in the Abundance Series, everything we do all year fits together. It all fits together. It's a synergistic combination of things that changes our lives, our companies, and our world. And so here's an example of inhabiting that pause and actually taking the space, because sometimes Shavasana can be a nice idea, but if we only have it as an idea, that would be good to do, but we don't actually ever do it, nothing shifts. So taking space and sometimes I love what you pointed out too, Yvonne, because people are different places on their journey, right? So you might be practicing regularly and you've done so for 30 years. I don't know. You might have never practiced other than when we practice here. Maybe often you need to arrive late and so you don't get a chance even to practice here. So different levels of experience. And sometimes it comes in sporadically. So the breath work, we're going to do some of that today that is built on Shavasana. So first we need to be able to find Shavasana. Then we can build pranayama, which is prana, breath, life force, energy, right? So we build breath work on Shavasana. And that I've been practicing consistently with very few exceptions since summer of 2006. So goodness, we're coming up 14 years now, every single day. I can't think of what else I've done every single day, you know. I mean, I live in the same place. I don't have the same, you know, different life partners. Like everything has changed. I did come practices come and go, but that has been consistent for coming up 14 years. And before that, sporadically. So like Yvonne, like sometimes doing it, but sometimes not, for many, many years before that as well. So bringing it in, and then it's not quite consistent yet. And then I forget, and then I remember, and then I bring it in. And whichever level of practice we're doing, whatever we're doing, it can make a shift right here, right now. And it has a cumulative effect over days and weeks and months and our lifetime. We are, like our cells are just constructed differently. We breathe differently. Everything shifts. All right. I love everything that I've heard here today. Anything else that's wanting to be shared? We've got some space and time today. Yeah. Mary Kay, go ahead.
I just want to say this is, I don't need to do anymore. I'm going to finish the day, but this is very powerful for me. And this is worth the whole day.
Thank you, Mary Kay, right at the outset of our day. Fantastic. I love that. Already got what I came for. And now all this is bonus. Like what a beautiful, mindset too. What a beautiful, and not something that you're striving to do. It's just how you feel. And that kind of, feeling of like plenitude, like feeling of abundance, feeling of I've already got that. Notice how it, emerges from the practice too, right? As we practice, there's just like ease and greater plenitude. And again, if that didn't happen to you, maybe it was your most frustrating Shavasana, whatever. There's space for all. There's an ebb and flow of the practice. And that's, you know, our first call in the Abundance series is about practice. It's about why do we practice? To practice. And we keep going back. And sometimes it's good. And sometimes it's bad. And it's our off day. It's our on day. We've experienced, you know, letting it be what it is. It's your perfect practice, right? And so thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. And it reminds me, too, of what as some people were saying at the end of the day last year, like that this was worth the whole year. And then I've got to let that go. It's like, this will be whatever it is for you. I don't want to make that promise. But I love hearing right at the outset of the day, it's worth the whole day already. How beautiful, right? And then letting go, whatever it is, whatever you receive from this, and knowing that this is not our only yoga day together. So whatever gifts you receive from this, they will continue to have a ripple effect through the year, and we'll have other chances to get together as well. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Okay. And just a clear space too, because I always ask for what did you love in this? And it might mean that, you know, maybe you're having difficulties in the practice. And today, because we've got a little more open space, I just want to see if there's anyone who wants to share. It's like, that was really tough today, Michelle, because I'm sure that it was harder for some than others. And if anybody wants to share something about that, because I just want you to know that always, it's not that we're only thinking that it's supposed to be something perfect and pretty. It's nothing like that. No happy face on empty gas gauge. Barb, thank you. Love it. See how quickly her hand shot up for that one, right? So go ahead, Barb. I love it. Because I'm sure you're not the only one. Like, sometimes it's hard. And don't forget to unmute.
I'm sorry. I was cold. I still am cold. I have a heater running. And, you know, my bones were poking into the ground and the ground was poking into my bones. And so there's a lot of tension. And I said, should I do this on the bed? But I know that's not the preferred thing to do. But yeah. When I move the flesh off of my buttocks, there isn't much left.
Thank you, Barb. I could just feel, could you feel how the energy in the room has shifted since she said that? I could feel that. And maybe it's Barb, you know, maybe it's only Barb today, unlikely, right? And if it's only Barb today, others have experienced it other times. And there's just like more breath here. If you can feel that, raise your hand. Sensitive to energy? Yeah, there's just more breath in the room now, right? So thank you for that, Barb. And there's never any, like, some kind of Pollyanna, it's supposed to be only happy face on empty gas gauge. And thank you for releasing that for us. We don't always have time for that week by week in our calls, but know that there's space for that too. Sometimes that's going to be your practice and it's all okay, right? And then we just return to the practice. Barb, or if you can mute your line once again, because I can unmute a little echo, just unmute as needed. So I'm glad you mentioned this because we've not spoken about this. Body temperature tends to drop in Shavasana. So we usually do a shorter Shavasana and it might not drop so much, but to have a blanket handy and for next time to have a blanket nearby you in case you get cold. So that's not something I've taught before because we just haven't got there. So making sure that you have a blanket nearby you. And that's why I mentioned when we send out the welcome letter, when you're coming to Mexico, like bring some layers, you know, because temperature sometimes drops and you might want to put on, when we're in Shavasana, you might want to put on an extra layer or, you know, later in the evening, that kind of thing, right? So we get to that teaching in Mexico, but I've never mentioned it here. So sometimes body temperature drops. If the body's poking into the ground, we all have different bodies, right? So maybe that comment was for you, Barb. Like you can put a blanket underneath you. If it's not comfortable underneath, so you can try that next time. And also, if you were suffering in silence, if anybody ever have that in at least one of the times that you've done Shavasana, either here or on your own, have you ever? Thank you, Yvonne. Like both hands up. I've done it. Who's suffered in silence accidentally in Shavasana before? Like asatya, truthfulness, honesty, right? I've done it too. So no shame, no judgment. And thank you, Barb, for bringing that point up too. It's so helpful. Everybody's done it. So everyone had their hand up. So when we're suffering in silence, it's not yoga. really important for our day. I don't know what it is, but there's no ahimsa there. Non-violence, non-harming. So I want you to notice, Barb, that thank you so much for this, that you had that thought. I am uncomfortable here. I think this is what you said. I am uncomfortable here. And the instruction is to be comfortable, but how we don't do that. And I've done it too, right? The instruction is to be comfortable. We can't build breath work on this until we're comfortable in Shavasana. It takes comfort first. I'm not comfortable, but I'm supposed to do it like this. So I'm going to stay here because I know that you're not supposed to do it like over there on the bed. So I'm going to stay here in discomfort. And I hope you don't mind if I'm just direct here, Barb, with this, because we've all done it. And then if how we do anything is how we do everything, what are we doing in our companies? And for those who were here yesterday on the Abundance Call 3, Barb's question was about, it's quite uncomfortable and I don't feel good about, I can't decide what my offer is about yet. Is it that one or that one or that one or that one? And I'm self-inflicted pain. Basically, that wasn't the word you used, but I'm self-sabotage. And yesterday I was talking about, well, how about what if it could be just a lot easier? And notice the piece about how you do anything is how you do everything. It just so happened it's Barb today. Thank you for that, Barb. What if this could be easier here? What if I truly take care of myself in Shavasana and then transfer that excellence out there into my world? Because what's happened for Barb this morning is probably some of the opposite. I'm feeling self-sabotage. I think it's going to be hard. I've got all these things that my work could be doing and I'm not sure what it is. And we solved that problem yesterday. Go back to yesterday's call. That was a really great question. Right? Oh, they solved. I mean, we took some steps toward it, right? Some really important insights about what to do about that. But sometimes what we do is we bring our usual mindset and old stories and so on over there into our yoga practice. It's uncomfortable because that's the way it's supposed to be done. I'm supposed to know what my offer is and I better be able to articulate in a little sentence, otherwise something is wrong. And if I don't do it that way, everything's falling apart and I'm self-sabotaging. And then I bring that over to the yoga mat. I'm supposed to do it like this. And so even though I'm uncomfortable and even though my body's telling me to move, I'm not going to move. And so thank you for this, Barb. This, some of you might have come just for this insight today. This might be why you come. Mary Kay already got why she came. And some of you, might be Barb, might be somebody else listening to this. What we want is the opposite. This is worth the whole day when you've got ears to hear. We practice on the yoga mat. We're going to get a chance to do some gentle movement today, right? In the second block and then just lying down in the fourth block, all right? I'll tell you how the blocks go in a minute. So, and what we want is for what's happening there to be our experimental ground, to be the place where we notice, because there isn't other stuff going on. We're a little less distracted. There's just us and our bodies and maybe a yoga mat, right? And a couple of props. So we have the time to see what's going on and to make adjustments. Sometimes kind of at the grosser level, like, wow, I'm uncomfortable, let me move. And I promise you I'm not above this. When I was at the Diamond Elite retreat with Lindsay, one morning I was limping more and I'm like, no, I don't. And Lindsay goes, maybe it was your yoga practice. I'm like, no, it wasn't that. No, you're wrong. No. I went, no, actually I pushed too hard. It was, I did it too. I was not comfortable and wasn't paying attention. And then, you know, my ankle backed up for a day and then it was better again. So I'm not above any of these teachings. I do it too. I've been studying and practicing for years. So no judgment, no editor. If you've done it, thank you for bringing it to our attention, Barb. If I'm not comfortable here, can I get up and move? Can I take deep care of myself? If I don't do it here, how's it going to happen in my company? And then I transfer that excellence over to what I'm doing in my company. And Barb is such a great example between the question yesterday and the question today. Go back and listen to that call if you haven't yet. Great, great insight in that question. And then we have the ripple effect out into our companies in ways that are deeper than we may know. All right. Thank you for that, Barb. I knew that energy was bubbling up somewhere here. Is that helpful, Barb? Yes, really, really great. All right. Anything else bubbling up, either something you loved in the practice, something you didn't love, Sherry, that came up real quick, or just something insight from what's happened so far here. Sherry, go ahead.
Well, I've kind of been sitting on this, but as I was trying to let go of what was on my mind and get into my body and my breath, I had like this, you know, light bulb on a cartoon character kind of idea just pop up. And it's like, wait, I can't let that go right this second, but think about it one more and then let it go and come back to it. It was like, no, I want to go in that direction, and was coming back. And so then during this period, I made a quick note about what it was.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sherry. In Shavasana, we slow things down enough or quiet enough that what the universe has been trying to tell us, we're just so busy and so much chatter, we can't hear it. These insights actually come, problems we've been trying to solve. I'm going to be having you play with a couple of articles about yoga today in groups. Might be in this block, might be in a later block. We'll see how today goes. One of the three articles that I'll point you toward, I think it was that Steve Jobs, that idea for was it the iPhone? I don't remember. I just read it. I was reading it again last night. Came to him in meditation or in Shavasana, something like that, right? So insights, really important insights come, and history is, littered with inventions and ideas that came from the quiet. Right? Genius inventors and cutting edge entrepreneurs. And so, and I love it too. It's like that idea comes up and, oh, I got to run and go record it. No, like just stay in Shavasana, just stay in Shavasana. Don't try to make insights come. Just do the practice, just do the practice. But so much of what this has been built in this company has come out of the quiet moments. It's come out of Shavasana. There's a problem that I'm trying to solve. The 10 by 10 by 10 club came from a moment. Massage, actually. It was a quiet moment, but I'm always doing breath work during massage too, you know. It's just quiet spaces and ideas come, an idea that had been waited for years. So love it, Sherry. Light bulb moment. Beautiful. All right. Anything else wanting to be shared about this practice? We've got the time and space today. The only other time we have the time and space for that is in Mexico and our other virtual days like this. Okay, but you can take the time for this all the time and as much as you choose to in your life, jotting down insights, noticing what's happened in your practice, that's available to you as much or as little as you choose, right? Since I've mentioned Mexico just now, and that's where we have space to do this deeper level inner game work, please remember that the deadline for Mexico is today. So you'll have some time over lunch if you haven't got that completed yet. Please make sure you do that. The massage is on me. Today is the deadline for that extra early bird bonus. Just trying to gently encourage you to do that, what will serve you, right? If y'all already invested, and just get it done early and have that clarity. And also because we're in the midst of the game, when you have that clarity, I'm just like, this is what I'm doing, and close that open loop is going to help you every time you're in a conversation with a potential client as well. So you want to close open loops, right? Find clarity, just yes, I'm going, or no, if you've got whatever it is you've got in the middle of it, you can't come, you know, getting married that week or whatever it is, right? Something really big. And just clarity. It's like, no, I'm choosing. I cannot go this year, but for whatever reason, but clarity about it. Let that clarity come today. Right. So just want to mention that because Mexico is was mentioned here. All right. Anything else wanting to be said about Shavasana before we move on to the structure of the day and some foundational work in and around yoga this morning? Nothing else wanting to be shared? Okay. Thank you. And again, today, sorry, if you're listening to the recording, I'm going to be looking down more because that's where I get to see you. I don't do this for a picture perfect recording afterwards. I want to see you. So if it looks like I'm not attending to you, I think you're all there on my screen, down lower on my computer today. All right. I see you all. Okay. Let me just mark this. We're going to do this later. Okay, a couple that was one public service announcement about Mexico. two more public service announcements. Remember, we're in the midst of the game. So I just want to ask this question at the outset of the day, because we're not really going to talk about the game, very different energy of out there action in the world. But I just want to drop this in, that you can pick this a thought up tomorrow or the next day and next week. We are about a week and a half to the end of the game. I don't even know how many high ticket sales we've made. I know we've made at least a couple. And last year we just came in sliding to the plate at the last minute. One last sale that came in right at the last minute and we won. We've always won. I don't know if we're going to win this time or not. I never know. Maybe we'll win. Maybe we won't. You know, we don't know. But how do you want to engage in the game? And how do you want to use what you're learning here as a springboard for the game? They seem like opposites, so I'm only going to mention it at the beginning of the day. But remember, Sherry just said she just had a light bulb moment. Well, wouldn't that be helpful in the game? And remember with the game, if I'm not having fun, I'm not doing it right. There was Barb struggling about her offer yesterday. And then insight that came from the abundance call about that. What if it doesn't have to be so hard? Right? What if it doesn't have to be so hard? That was Mary Kay's insight at the end of the day. It might have come from that insight with Barb. What if it doesn't have to be so hard? And so what if you could use that time? What if because it's the time for the game, what if it's time to up your Shavasana practice in whatever way you've been doing, like to take it to the next level? Because the more 1 hour of work in the inner world is equal to 7 hours of work in the outer world, like Jack Canfield says, are we working too hard? So how are you going to access the power of what we do today and use it as a springboard for the game? Right? So consider that. We're probably not going to dive in there deeply. There'll be time for questions. If you want to ask me about that, go ahead. There's no questions off limits, but I just wanted to seed that at the beginning of the day. These two work hand in hand. Last year, we did them back to back. High-ticket virtual retreat, and then Yoga for Entrepreneurs the next day. I wanted to give you some time and space to assimilate them both. Well, that was better this year, but they do go hand in hand, right? Okay. One other public service announcement. If you weren't on the call yesterday and you haven't been checking your email, there's a call next week with Marie leading it. It's a bonus call for you at our usual time and place. If you haven't seen that, so Marie will be there, and it's a booster call for the high ticket virtual retreat. And Marie's had great success. She's both had great success on her own. She's witnessed a ton of success with the high ticket virtual retreat because she's done it with us for many, many times. So you're not going to want to miss that call. I think probably Yvonne was the only one who was on the one other high ticket booster call. Yvonne, you were probably there a couple of years ago when Marie hosted it, and it was extraordinary. I mean, the feedback we got about that was raving, right? Marie is amazing. So that's next week. And then the week after that, we're meeting on a Tuesday, not a Thursday, and at a different time, 2:30, because I need a follow-up for my root canal, and there was no other way to organize it. It was ahimsa, self-care for myself. I can't ask you to do it if I don't do it for myself. So I had to move that call a couple hours later. All that information's in your inbox. A deadline tomorrow for Mexico, or today for Mexico. And then March 4th, my birthday, is our deadline for the high ticket virtual retreat for the game. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. How are you playing in the game? What high ticket sale do you want to make? And I just want to remind you that Christina and Yvonne, you were there on the call. You witnessed it at the high ticket virtual retreat a few years ago. Christina was working in a barber shop for probably, you know, somewhere near minimum wage. I mean, that, she was having that was her life. She thought that maybe she could do high ticket like 6 months from now, once she did this and that and that and that and that. And she closed her first high ticket sale the next day. I think it was $2,000, right? She was working in a barber shop. So what's the mindset shift that's needed for you? It's like, well, yeah, I could do it, but you know, I can't because... Notice how you're playing, because whatever it is that follows the because is probably holding you back in other places as well, in your company and in your world. So jot it down, write it down, notice that, what the editor is saying. You could bring it to the call. Michelle, what does this tell me? How can I use this to springboard what I'm doing? You can ask Marie about that as well. You can ask each other about that in the Facebook forum. You can be on connection calls. So, you know, how do you want to use these next couple of weeks? And how do you want to use this yoga day as a springboard for the game? They work hand in hand. We do them at the same time of year for a reason. Last time, like I said, we did it back to back. Okay, that's it for announcements. So what the day looks like. Waivers. If there's Dottie, was it a question? Yeah, go ahead. I saw you. I just saw you. You're way at the bottom of my screen, and my screen is lower today. So if I miss you, just persist.
No problem. I was wondering, before we leave, about the game, if you could maybe work with us on why we're not playing the game, or honestly, what is our level of participation? Did we want it to be more? How would it benefit us, really? And anyway, anything like that? Are you going to...
And so the we, like, there's also an assumption in the question that we're not playing. I think we're like, there's tons of engagement about the game. And there's tons of amazing wins that are happening. And I'm hearing about them, both like privately from people and like on the call last time. And so I think there's like lots of amazing engagement. I'm just saying, like, what's that next level, right? Okay. And so then, and also, I know that it's really interesting to observe what happens in the game. We'll see what happens this time around, but often activity happens too at the last minute. You know, if we have a deadline for something, like, probably more of you will register for Mexico today and yesterday than all the other days beforehand. Am I right? Notice that that happens in companies. And so it's really good to set deadlines for people, like, and that's also why we have a deadline for people to register for our programs and so on. So there's tons of stuff to learn from the game and how we're playing it. I'm really interested in us each watching ourselves, myself included, how are we playing? Just notice it, right? So that's one of the huge benefits, because whatever's happening in the game is happening out there in the world as well. And then, you know, just the fundamental, so I'll just spend a couple minutes on this, and then we'll go back to because we're not going to return here other than if your questions bring us here. How am I, yoga connects with this by non-judgmental awareness. Whatever's happening is just happening. Like in Shavasana, whatever's happening is just happening. Then what do I want to do about that? What's my next step, right? So one of the ways the yoga and the high-ticket virtual retreat connect. I'm just going to mention one key benefit. We could take a whole hour on this, and I'm not going to. I would turn you back to the high ticket virtual retreat itself, and I highly recommend rewatching that, because you'll hear it differently now than when you first saw it. And also, there's all kinds of other resources that you can, there's a 4-hour training on connection calls versus strategy sessions. There's a 1-hour call with Bonnie on, you know, how to do strategy sessions. I know Mary Kay mentions that a lot. It's like, and Mary Kay, I hope you don't mind, but you've got it posted, like, points from that call. And every time you follow, as you said, like, the strategy session, that's when it closes. I mean, just that hour. And so you can tap into resources around how to have those conversations that already exist in the community, not to mention the high ticket virtual retreat. There are high ticket virtual retreat booster calls. I think the one with Marie is posted somewhere. If it's not, ask Amy and Emily for it, and we'll make sure that that's posted for you. That call freaking rocks. So you can up your level of what you understand about how to make offers, and then go out and actually do that and be on the court, and then watch how you're playing, and then how you set up your year. Like, what is it we're doing at the beginning of the year? Because that's probably also how the year will keep going, unless we make a shift. Now, we're making shifts all the way along in this community, but a profound shift is possible when we're doing the game. Because if we're not making offers, we don't have a company, right? So reference the last part of the high ticket virtual retreat. If we are not making offers, we don't have a company. Like, we have a hobby, right? We haven't built our company yet. And this is a profound place to practice and do making offers in a safe place with the support of the community, and you can play at whatever level you choose. And how you do anything is how you do everything. How are you playing here? Are you going, well, maybe I'll hold back a little bit and see what others are doing? That's probably happening in your company. Well, I'm just going to go. And even if, you know, like, I think of Jasmine, like, if 50 people say no to me, whatever, I'm still going to go and do it. Great. You know, like, I'm just got energy behind me and I'm doing it. Hey, 50 people have said no to me. I better ask a question to find out how more people can be saying yes, right? This is a fabulous place to be, actually creating the foundation of our company. How am I even using, I said, I only say one thing, I can't help myself. How am I even using my time? I might be building my website and doing LinkedIn and posting on Facebook every day and going for coffee meetings with people and building my team and getting my office together, and none of that builds a company. What builds a company is actual conversations with real people who can engage in your work. in the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. And the game is when we actually put that into practice in the deepest, most profound way that we do all year long. People have gone back to the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, sometimes listening to it a second time, a third time, a fourth time, and at various times in the year for that springboard. But we're here live on the court right now. So those are a couple of the answers to questions. I'd go reference the whole of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. We'll tell you more of those benefits. I'd go back and listen again. Okay, is that helpful, Dottie? Thank you for presencing that, because we won't return to, like, the next time we have a call like this together is the day before the end of the game. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And everything that we're going to learn today is going to help with that game. Everything we learn. It's not what it's aimed at, but it's one of its ripple effects. Okay. Dottie, is that helpful? And Barb is nodding hugely. I don't see Dottie nodding. Was that helpful?
Not really.
Not really. Interesting. Okay.
Tell me where to go. And if it's not of interest to the group, then we absolutely shouldn't do it.
Okay. The way that I'm going to underline this then is I gave a number of things. So go back and re-listen to this piece when you get the recording, Dottie. All right. Because I gave a number of reasons why it matters. And just listen to it again and take some notes and then get on a connection call with somebody if you still don't hear why that's helpful. And I'm just going to mention this one thing. If we're not making offers, we don't have a company. And everything in the game is designed to help you go and make offers. So for that one reason alone, I suggest to engage at the deepest level possible, right? And if you're not engaging, then notice that and then lean into to see what would help you to engage.
In the work that you're suggesting, I'm overwhelmed because I don't know where to find it. And I really don't have the time to listen to 50 hours to try to find it.
Right. That's why we drip it out one piece at a time. We don't do everything all at once. And if you, one piece that I would point you to, there is more in the High Ticket Virtual Retreat than meets the eye. Go back and re-listen to that. If you don't do anything else, the next thing I would do is the interview with Bonnie. And if you can't find it, just send a note to the team and they will point you toward it. And there's lots of people in the community who know where to find it as well. So you post a note on Facebook and say, hey, you know, could you just tell me where you can find these resources? If it's overwhelm, I'm just telling you there's a wealth of resources, but even if you tap into one of them, it can be life-changing. If it's overwhelming to tap into all of them, choose one. And the one is the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Next, you might want to go over to the call with Bonnie. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and then be on a connection call with somebody and say, hey, I'm overwhelmed. Where should I start? There's people in this community who are very familiar with a lot of those different pieces, or maybe people who are also just exploring, and you can explore it together, right? Not having fun, not doing it right. Okay, thank you for that, Dottie. Really great question again. It's I'm glad for this at the beginning of the Yoga for Entrepreneurs Day, because one of the things that yoga brings is that non-attachment, is equanimity. It's like what's happening is it's all okay. And if I get flustered and I get overwhelmed, well, part of what we need is that yoga practice to be grounded, to be centered, right? So every piece of it will help us with the game. Every piece of it will help us with that abundance. Every piece, everything we do is always interconnected. We can only get to one piece of it at a time through the year, right? Okay. What I'd like you to do right now is let's take a collective breath, letting that go, inhaling. And then exhale. And again, inhale. And then exhale. And I want you to just take 30 seconds and jot down one thing that you'd like to receive. Some of you posted that. Thank you. I read all the surveys very carefully. One thing you'd like to receive from this Yoga for Entrepreneurs Day. Some of you have already received, like, wow, light bulb moment, and wow, I already got what I came for. And what would you like to receive? Centering us back in on what I want to get from this yoga practice. What would I love to receive? Okay, thank you for that. You can just finish up that sentence, last sentence or two, to get to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. All right, and I'd love to hear from one or two of you. Without a lot of background, some of you have lots of background in yoga, some of you have none at all, but you might have ideas, even from filling out the survey itself, of what you'd like to receive today. So just like popcorn, I'd like to hear from two or three or four of you. What is it that you think you would like to receive today? We'd like to begin. Was that Yvonne? Did you put up your hand? So Yvonne and then Sherry.
For me, it's another opportunity to ground myself.
And it connects really with what Dottie was saying too. Like, if I'm in overwhelm, I'm all up here. I need to find my feet on the earth, like planted beneath me. And yoga does that. Shavasana, we can feel that in Shavasana. We'll feel that in some really gentle poses in our next segment. And don't worry, there's going to be breaks through the day. I'll tell you how it'll work. We're coming up to a break in maybe 35 minutes or so. Okay, just in case you're wondering. So thank you, Yvonne. Ground myself. Sherry.
I want to have continued comfort within my body to be consistent with my mission and purpose in life.
And again, we were talking about the game and yoga, and you've brought that together beautifully here, Sherry. It's like, well, when I'm comfortable in my body, I can be on purpose and carry out my mission. And the High Ticket Virtual Retreat is about nothing if it's not about how I actually implement that, carrying out my mission, because it's like, here's real people that I can go help. Let me go serve them, right? So comfort in my body. So I have it as a resource, not holding me back, but actually helping me in my mission. Fantastic. Yes. Let's hear a couple more. What would you like to receive today? Carly, thank you. And then Tracy.
So this practicing this with our Shavasana and everything that we've done so far, I've really been able to calm when I feel overwhelmed. I've made a lot of progress in that area. Well, today it's really interesting because I have some really exciting positive things going on, and I have a lot of excitement today. And so what I'd like to do today is find a way to, get to that peaceful place, but also really maintain that like positive energy and embody it and see a way for yoga to help with that.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. And all of these things that you've said, each of you so far, you know, Yvonne and Sherry and Carly, this is all what we find here in the yoga practice, and all something that is part of our aim for today. And Carly, I love it because you're talking about, well, that peaceful, and we hear that because we've practiced deeply in Shavasana, but yoga also allows us to calibrate our energy. If we're like, if we don't have energy, we can lift it. If we're all scattered, we can find containment. So it helps us massively to calibrate that energy. And sometimes, like, let's say I want that, you know, excited kind of buzzing energy, right? That maybe I'm not going to go into Shavasana at that moment. Like I might not do Shavasana right exactly before I'm about to be, on the court for superstar, you know, Olympic basketball or whatever, right? Because I might want to do some poses that are going to raise the energy instead. So in the scope of our daily or our weekly calls, we don't have the scope to talk about that. But yoga can actually allow us to calibrate that energy. And sometimes we think, well, if I'm peaceful, am I going to lose that excitement? It's not that at all. We actually get to, I know, Carly, you've even experienced that as well, that we get to experience all of that more deeply. We can mitigate the times that are harder. We can make them easier and less ground in and painful, and find lightness and groundedness through that. And then the higher times, it's like we get to experience them more fully. Yeah, love it. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. Tracy, you're up.
Okay. I can relate to what everyone said, but what I wrote down is focus.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to get out of this is just to try to work on my focus in my business, because I just feel like my thoughts are just kind of going in a lot of directions. And I feel like I'm not really giving my business 100%.
Mm, beautiful. I love it, Tracy. So focus, that word is huge. And I can't think of a practice that is better at bringing focus than yoga. And particularly, I'm an Iyengar yogi. You'll learn what that means, but certainly by the end of the day, as we work, I can't think of a practice that brings more focus, more intentionality, more one-pointed concentration. It is phenomenal how that works. It is, and we're going to talk about what yoga is even aimed at. That's a big part of even the definition of yoga, right? Bringing together our thoughts and letting it be like getting rid of those scattered thoughts that way. And so why is it that, you know, why does Oprah practice yoga? Why do, you know, big companies practice yoga? Why do, you know, a lot of those big companies are bringing in yoga practices for their people as well, like possibilities for them to practice. Like, why are they doing this? And focus is one piece of it. We cannot get to the next level without that focus. So thank you. Love it, Tracy. Beautiful. Yes, yes, and yes. What else is bubbling up? Anything else bubbling up that you'd like to receive, that you would like to share? Mary Kay, thank you.
I originally thought I wanted to learn just more about the poses because I get the other stuff. But now I want to learn more about balance and exuberance.
And do you say balance and exuberance?
Inner exuberance yes.
So you said balance and inner exuberance, right? I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
No,
I love that.
Balancing inner exuberance.
Balancing inner exuberance. Okay, so tell me, I love that, because yoga is nothing if not about balance as well, right? And then inner exuberance, we talked about that with Carly, is like that it allows for that to happen. So, but when you put them together, balancing inner exuberance, tell us just a little bit more so that I understand more clearly what that means to you.
Something about balancing a lot of the good things happening for me, that happens for me, and I don't mean to say I don't struggle, because I do struggle and suffer and all that, but maybe part of that is, I don't know, there's just so much that is wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a little bit, this is one of those luxury problems. But it really is, you know, it is a challenge. Like, what do we do with this? Right. And so, and some of you might be going, well, because depending on your mind, heart, spirit state right now, some of you might be going, well, cry me a river. You know what I mean? Right. Because you're in that state. And some of you might be going, yeah, I feel exactly that. And it's all good wherever you are with this. Right. But as more and more things start to open in our companies and our lives, it's like that luxury problem that Katie had a few years ago in the community. It's like, wow, Michelle, I met all my annual goals in 3 months. It's March 1st. Now what am I supposed to do? It's a real issue, right? And this is not the same issue, but it's the same thing as more and more wonderful things come in. And sometimes I've found that as my life and my company and my world have been expanding so much that sometimes at the highest points, it's hard to assimilate it. It's hard to even feel it. It's hard to, and you're nodding vigorously. You got that, right? It's like all this, like often when the world is seeing the biggest wins for my company, that's when I have to do the most inner work, because I don't feel it right away. And some of the others are going, yes, I know what that is. And if some of you are going like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, it never happens to me. It's okay. So you're a different part in the journey. It's okay. Right. And you know, so there's no wrong place to be here, right? But for some of you, there's really deep nods. It's like that. What do I do at that point when everything is going well? And the yogis have a lot to say about that, and the practice has a lot to say about that too. The yogis were really interested in human freedom and how do we end suffering? And as entrepreneurs, if we're busy suffering and we're not free, how do we grow our companies? Not to mention our lives and our world. So tons of unbelievable and beautiful tools that we're going to dive into today. So yes, learning about the poses, yes, but there's even more. It's not just about the poses. There's even other layers of that other part of the journey. Because in the West, we think of yoga as the poses, and there's so much more than that, right? So, and they're important and beautiful too. Iyengar yoga really pays attention to those poses. but I want us to understand something broader than that as well, about what it means and how we can enact it for our companies. So thank you for that, Mary Kay. Love it. All right. Anything else bubbling up? Something you'd like to receive today? These are all absolutely on point with our yoga journeys. Okay. There was an exercise that I was going to do with you in this block, but, you know, I mean, letting go of the structure of it, we always get there. Sometimes we get in there a back door. I was going to have you working in groups with these articles, but I don't think we need to. I think that you're already, like, beyond that, right? I don't think we need that piece. I want to give you a different piece instead. And what I'm going to do is I will post... Yvonne, may I ask you, could you please remind me as we head into lunchtime, not this block, but the block after that, to make sure you guys have links to those articles so you can just take a look at them over lunch hour if you so choose. I think that's going to be a better use of our time together, because really what those articles were about, the way that I wanted to make sure we kicked off our day was in, like, why does this even matter? So there's a couple articles about why yoga matters for entrepreneurs. But I hear you understanding it at such a deep level that I think those articles are useful. I still want to give you access to them. But you guys are going at such a depth of why this is useful already. You're getting that already that I want to just put that over in lunch so that that we can dive into some other stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah, and yoga is about flexibility too. So when we can let our bodies be flexible, we can let our minds be flexible, we can let our curriculum be flexible. We don't have to force it through, right? I'm more interested in, I've got a structure for the day, but then I'm more interested in how, you know, not how we get there, but that we get there. And you guys, I'm hearing you hearing it, why this matters, right? So, all right. So I want to tell you a little bit. I said to tell you in this block something of the structure of our day. So maybe going, oh my goodness, and I did make sure that you know that don't worry, there's going to be breaks, all right? Because otherwise your mind might be distracted. It's like thinking about when am I going to get a break and then can't be fully present here. So the structure of our day, let me see. All right, I'm going to, we need always a bit of a longer block at the beginning because it's introductory, because we did a deep dive Shavasana, right? So let me see. Okay, so this block is going to go, I'm going to speak Mountain Time, which is 1 hour different from Pacific Time, which is, I don't know, compared to your time zone, 1 hour off of Central Time, the other way around. Right now, it's 10:37 Mountain Time, and so I'm going to speak Mountain Time. Please translate to your own time zone. If I speak in more than one time zone, I will get lost. So we started at 9:15 Mountain Time. This block goes to, we're going to go to about 11:15, all right? We'll go to about 11:15. I'm going to add on just a few extra minutes to this block to make sure that we've got a chance to have the best grounding about yoga, about the practice. We will take about a half-hour break. That's from 11:15 to 11:45. So don't worry, there'll be breaks through the day. Then from 11:45 till about 1 o'clock, we're going to be doing some postures, simple postures. We're going to learn how to stand. We're going to learn how to sit in ways that actually serve and support us. We're going to learn how to raise our arms, right? And I'll be giving you guidelines about how to do so with ahimsa, non-violence, non-harming towards your own body, right? So you're going to be listening to your own body in a way that Barb taught us to this morning. If something doesn't feel right, you're going to stop. If I say, hey, balance on one leg, and you go, I don't balance on one leg, we're going to give you something else to do. If you've just had back surgery, if you've got osteoporosis, if you've been in a car accident, if you've got neck issues, whatever it is, there's different things going on in the classroom, right? Then you're going to back off, right? And I'll give you some specific guidelines. If you've had back surgery, you're not going to do forward bends, not unless I know that your doctor's approved that, right? So, you're going to be listening to your own body always. If you've got osteoporosis, you're not going to be doing forward bends. You're never going to bend your body more than 90 degrees. And again, also because we're doing this here, and if I'm working with you privately or you're working with a yoga practitioner in your city, right, you might be doing different things, but we're going to err on the side of deep, deep ahimsa, non-violence, non-harming, because I want you to learn the principles of how to move your body And it's not about fancy poses. And I've taught lots of fancy poses, but it doesn't come from that. The fancy poses start with everything that we're learning today, right? The fancy poses just help us get to more and more levels of quietness in the mind. But I don't care about the fancy poses. I care about us knowing how to move with integrity, right? So, and then all that translates over into the fancier and fancier poses that, you know, we can do another time. If you want to learn some fancy poses and we take some time off in Mexico, or I'm showing you how to get up and headstand or handstand or whatever it is. There's going to be none of that here today, all right? But for some of you, we'll do that together in Mexico, if you choose, all right? Never required. So, and not as a group. We're not going to be doing headstand as a group, but it might be helping some of you, for instance, right? If you choose, right? So, because I don't want you to go, well, I don't want to do headstand. I'm not going to come to Mexico. I don't want that to plant that editor in you. No, it's going to be just as gentle. You can make it just as gentle as here, okay? 9:15 to 11:15 here. 11:45 till 1, we're going to be moving in the asanas. That means the postures, right? What people usually think of as yoga, we're going to be doing in that block. We'll take a lunch break from about 1 till 2:30. Don't hold me to these times exactly. Then 2:30 till 4 o'clock, we're going to be coming together for some more scaffolding about yoga. We're going to be doing some yoga philosophy for entrepreneurs. Yoga philosophy is unbelievably powerful for helping us shift our lives and our companies. And we're going to begin that block as well with a debriefing about what happened as we were moving, because more will be happening than meets the eye. All right. And then we'll take another half hour break from about 4 till 4:30. And 4:30 till 6, I'll give you these times again, some breath work and some restorative yoga. Right. So a block of learning now, 9:15 to 11:15, a block of movement, 11:45 till 1. We'll take lunch, and please don't pack things into your lunch. Take this day for yourself. Don't go check your email. Don't go try to resist, right? Take this day for you. 2:30 to 4 at yoga philosophy, and also debriefing of what happened when we moved. And then 4:30 to 6, pranayama and restorative yoga. I think last year we had so much going on in the other segments that pranayama and restorative yoga was only half an hour. We'll adjust the blocks as needed. It was perfect as it was, depending on how our day goes together, right? It's explorative and interactive together. And I'll make sure that I'll just leave this line open. So if for some reason you need to go away for a moment, please try not to. Please rebook if you haven't already so that you don't need to go away. But it'll be in the chat. So it'll say, we're coming back at such and such a time if for any reason you needed to go away, so that you know what the rhythm of our day is. It looks something like what I've outlined, all right? So that's the logistics. The waivers. If there's anyone who has not signed the waiver, you must sign it before we do the yoga asanas, all right? So I think the vast majority of you have. There might be one person, maybe two people, who didn't yet sign it. Go and find it, and in integrity, don't participate unless you've signed that waiver. And the waiver just says, hey, I'll take care of my own body. And it's the same waiver that's used in different yoga studios in the country. It just says, like, hey, I'll take care of my own body. I understand that I'm going to move carefully with my body, right? And I won't sue Michelle. I won't sue Michelle, right? So take care of your own body. Right. And signing the waiver reminds you to do so as well. Right. And if you haven't filled out the survey, will I have a chance to look at them? I read them all carefully. If you haven't filled it out, go ahead and fill it out. And let me know. And I'll read it if I can, but the waiver must be signed. All right. Any questions about the logistics? All good. Clear. You know, you'll have breaks so you can relax. And how's the energy level here? Still good. You can hang in there for another half hour or so. Your energy looks good to me, actually. That's the fruit of Shavasana. So, okay. There was going to be a larger segment in and around you getting together around those articles, but I think I do want to do just 5 minutes of breaking you up into groups, not with the articles, but with what some of you got to express, because the depth of that was so phenomenal. You know, Tracy in and around focus, and every single one of you that spoke, there was something really beautiful there. And so I'd like each of you to get a chance to express that, right? But we're only going to take 5 minutes over it. So I'm going to break you up into groups of maybe two, three, four people. And I want you to share with each other what you would like to receive from this, what you think the gifts of yoga might be for you in the absence of even, I mean, there's lots of cultural understanding about yoga. You get some of it, you know, people talk about yoga out there, even if you haven't done it. We do Shavasana all the time. Some of you have practiced with me in Mexico and other places, Story Freedom a little bit. And so what is it that you think is in this yoga practice and learning about yoga and how it applies to your company, how it applies to your world? And if you're Tracy and you got a chance to express that, for instance, when Tracy's in that group, she might be expressing more of that. She might do, it's focus and it's something else, she might say, or she might say, focus, let me drill deeper into that focus. I want focus because I'm not 100% in my company right now. I want focus. I realize it's also with my family. I want focus. I realize that I haven't been focused with this one team member. What, like, she can drill down further. So because articulating it makes it real. Does that make sense? And it helps us to know it. And from the Having a Big Why series, we know that the energy to do comes from really knowing the why. When we get to this piece of it that we'll do in 5 minutes, then we'll come back and debrief for a couple more minutes. All the rest follows. I knew at university, when if I could get them to understand why they needed to understand literary theory, we're all good. When we know why we're doing the game, that's why I spent time with Dottie's question. When we know why it matters, much more likely to engage. If we know what the benefits are of this from the outset, and we have enough knowledge to know what it is for yourself, even without anything that we've spoken here, then the whole day makes more sense. The whole day will go so much deeper, right? And you'll get to hear other people's whys. Because when you heard Tracy, it meant, right, I'd like focus. I'd like, Yvonne, I want to be more grounded because I'm finding I'm scattered and overwhelmed. That would help me. I never even thought about that till I heard it from Yvonne, for instance, all right? So any questions about what you're going to be doing? You're going to have 5 minutes. You're going to divide the time among you. So, and I think what, I'm going to make it smaller groups so that you have time really to share. So be in a group of two or three. You got 5 minutes, divide it in half or divide it in three. You control the time and I'll bring you back in 5 minutes. Any questions about what you're doing without which we cannot go forward? It's like, what's my why for being here? What benefit, what do I think I want to receive? Make sense? Okay, fantastic. Here we go. Let me, it's funny, I have to look way down at my computer to do this time. Where's the buttons here? I'm not used to looking at them here. Breakout rooms, there it is. It all looks different. All right, into. Okay, so we're creating the rooms. We've got Lindsay, Teresa, and Tracy, Angela, Dottie, and Marla, Barb, and Mary Kay, and Carlene, Yvonne. 5 minutes, remember to keep time, have fun. What's your why? What do you want to receive here? I'll call you back in 5 minutes. See you soon. Everyone should be arriving back right now. Welcome back. Let me just close the screen in front of me. All right. Let's hear. We already heard from, goodness, Yvonne, Sherry, Carly, Tracy, Mary Kay. If you want to speak again, that's fine. I'm not stopping you from speaking if you've already spoken. And then, all, you know, if anybody hasn't spoken yet, I'd love to hear from one or two more. Did what happened here as you met with others? Did you hear other reasons to be here, other things that could be received from this study and practice of yoga together today? Who would like to share what went on over there? Give me a little corner of your world. Yeah, thanks, Lindsay.
We found the commonality that focus is something we're all wanting to find.
Yeah, I was underlining that, what the last one that Tracy had said, and focus. Without focused intentionality, I don't know how to create a company. And I'm finding that as the company grows too, like, greater and greater levels of focused intentionality are needed. If I'm just trying to run a company where I have one person that I'm going to serve for, I don't know, half an hour per year. I mean, I'm trying to give something ridiculous. I don't need as much focus. because I got to stay sort of kind of focused for that half hour. If I blow it, I'll just, you know, do another half hour, the next half hour, and it's all okay. As a company grows with people and complexity and team members and other pieces of it, I better know what I want to focus on and what I don't want to focus on. And so then when I can see how much, even in Shavasana, that my mind wanders away from something that ought to be easy to focus on, but it's not, right? I'm trying to focus on the breath, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this, and I start to learn how my mind works. We've seen that in Shavasana. That's what happens in the postures as well. We're always watching the mind and learning about the mind and how my mind actually works. Then we can start to fine-tune it. The yogis were like engineers and philosophers and practitioners of exactly the minute movements of the mind. So and so needed for... and if we just kind of grossly want to focus a little bit, well, whatever. But if we want those finer and finer levels needed as we grow, yes, absolutely. Thank you. That's a deeper dive into Tracy's comment from earlier. Let's hear one or two more. Where else did we get to? And you get that we could spend the entire day. We won't. We could spend the entire day drilling further and further into that. We would find more and more there in each piece. Let's hear one or two more, though. What else is going on in those rooms? Yeah, Angela, thank you. Oh, and Angela, you're muted.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There we go. we talked about, for me, I shared, I've just been completely overwhelmed. So the need to feel grounded. And when we were talking, and I didn't say this, but I wrote down, it reminded me, kind of took me back to Story Freedom about opening my heart, having an open heart. And silencing everything around me and taking the me time to open my heart. And another thing that was mentioned was, we tend to get on one thing in our mind and go in circles with it without resolution, and how to, you know, essentially calm yourself so you're not repeating the same thing.
Yeah. These are all fantastic insights. Thank you, Angela. I'm so glad that we did it this way. Again, I was going to, what we were going to access collectively through those articles, you guys are sourcing inside yourselves. I'd rather have it that way. Then we can refer to the articles over lunch hour way better. You guys are so ready for this. And accessing this from a really deep place, so way better in this route. So Angela, what you said about opening my heart, Father Joe, I've mentioned this at Story Freedom. Some of you have heard this in other contexts as well. Father Joe, a really amazing Iyengar teacher who's made a profound difference on this planet. He says that when we open our hearts, we're not just opening the physical heart. We're opening our hearts and thereby the heart of the world. And so very simple moves that allow me, and as entrepreneurs, we need to open it again and again and again, too. A vendor lets us down, or a client doesn't do what we think, or we're disappointed in ourselves, or family members, or whatever. Stuff happens, right? And then it's not just opening the heart once. It's opening it again and again and again, and deeper and bigger. Just that one piece of what you said that we didn't have on the table yet. Thank you for that. Yes. And then that mind going in circles, we call it monkey mind, right? Just like that, and that, and that, and that. And it's like the antithesis of that focus. And then my actions are not going to be aligned. They're not going to be inspired. They're not going to have as much power. And I got to work so much harder. So quietening that monkey mind to access something so much deeper. Yes, thank you. All right. Anything bursting to be said about your why, about what you'd love to receive, without which we can't go forward? So it's a different call right now, just in case there's something else bubbling up. All right. Because Angela's comments give us a thank you for that. Thank you, all of you. Great work. If you found at least one more why for doing this for your company and your world, in either hearing what everyone said beforehand or in this 5-minute dive with your group, one more thing that you hadn't thought of or you thought of more deeply, like the focus, or in listening to the words now, if there's a deeper why around this than you might have known before, raise your hand. Just checking to see. Yeah, you're hearing it. Fantastic. And if not, no worries. Like, just Satya, truthfulness. Thank you. All right. So I wanted to jump off from here because Angela's comments give us the perfect jumping off point for, I asked you in the, when you, in the survey, did you know about Patanjali's Yoga Sutras? So I want to just do a visual thing so we can see this. I know that you already know the answers, but humor me in this, all right? This is going to sound strange because it's so obvious, but just watch this, watch it, okay? How many of you have heard of yoga before? Raise your hand. Right? Obvious, I know, right? How many of you have heard of and know something about the Yoga Sutras before? Raise your hand. Look how much fewer, how many fewer hands, right? How many know something of the Yoga Sutras and know, how many have heard of it, know something about it, and have implemented something of the Yoga Sutra from the Yoga Sutras this week? Raise your hand. Okay, because I wanted to see that visual. Could y'all see it? Everyone in the West knows about yoga. A couple of people know about the Yoga Sutras. Nobody is implementing it. This is like a, this is a high level group, and we've been doing some yoga all the way along, right? So, and whether you practice for years or not, there's so little that's actually known in the West about what yoga really is. Most people, so I just want to give, again, this is going to be a little 15-minute intro to the background of what yoga even is, and then we're going to practice some of the postures, the asanas, after the break. So, the Yoga Sutras. So in the West, we tend to think of yoga as hot yoga. We tend to think of yoga as a fitness, an addition to our fitness plan. Even those articles that I'm pointing you to, you guys are doing a deeper job of than some pieces of those articles. I'd say they're pretty good. You guys are better, right? But they're still really useful. I still suggest that you go take a look at them because they're some parts of them, they're looking at yoga like just a form of like a refined form of exercise or something like that. Well, it has, and even just relaxation and so on, like yoga is all those things. And it's so, so much more. So one of you, and I'll probably talk more about your surveys as we go, but one of you asked, like, I would love to hear about yoga and the heart. Can it help with the heart? And so just in its physical effects, yoga is so much more impactful than we realize. Let me tell you a brief story about yoga and the heart. And the answer is a profound yes. I've told the story about Trish and her heart, and you know, the specialist working with her could feel it. You know, and we were doing yoga, we were doing other things to transform that as well with her story. But I want to tell you a story about my teacher Margot briefly. Probably if Margot was not if she hadn't practiced yoga for years, she'd probably be dead by now. And that not just according to my opinion, that according to her and her cardiologist, right? Because she has the same congenital heart problem, it turned out, that killed John Ritter, I think in his 40s. Some of you know the actor John Ritter. And most people who have this die en route to the hospital. The stats are horrible. He was, I think, in his 40s. It hits people early on, even like in the, you know, like they people just drop dead quite easily. And so my teacher not only made it to the hospital, she's recovering remarkably. It's both people don't make it, and then when they make it, they have a horrible recovery rate. And but she's doing really, really, really well. And this hit her in her 70s. And she was, she is her, isn't it her son-in-law is a cardiologist, something like that. She's connected. So she has access to the best cardiologists in the country. Right. And so when all this was happening and she had to undergo an 8-hour surgery and so on, when the doctors opened her up and then afterwards, and she was telling us a story afterwards, they were going like, and cardiologists are very Western scientific sorts of people. They're not prone to exaggeration. You know what I'm saying? And they're so they don't say what they don't mean. And they're like, well, as we're looking at your heart, you look like you have a heart of a 50-year-old. And you're in your 70s. Now, they don't exaggerate. You get what I'm saying? Like, what is it that you've been doing? How is it? We don't know how this has happened. So she'd have been dead. So let me, like, this one story among thousands that I could share with you that I've heard and that, you know, So in the Iyengar Institute in India, they have a medical branch of it, right, in the medical classes. And doctors are really interested in studies are going on, not just about the heart, but about kidneys, liver, lungs, you know, legs, recovery from, you know, like at all levels. And the remarkable healing power that happens is extraordinary. And so I just mentioned one anecdotal story about the heart, but these, you know, there's tons of studies that you can go and find there about the unbelievable effects of yoga. Now, these are just the physical effects. And my teachers would go like, yeah, whatever. It's just my teacher Mar would go, yeah, like that's just a side effect. It's not about that. It's a nice side effect to have, but it's not even about that. And I wanted to follow up about, well, what is yoga anyway? We all know about yoga in the West, but we don't really know. And what are these yoga sutras? So I wanted us to leave this block with an understanding about what the Yoga Sutras are. And I keep lots of copies of them on my shelf. You're going to see my bookshelf in the next block. But here's the one written by my teacher, Mr. Iyengar, the founder of the kind of yoga that I do. It's just called Light on the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. I also own The Secret Power of Yoga by Nishala Joy Devi, another take on the Yoga Sutras. I own there's a bunch more on my shelf. I'm not even bringing them out. These are just a couple of my favorites. The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali by Edwin Bryant. This is a more scholarly approach, like, and the history of over many, many years. So what are these Yoga Sutras anyway, and why do they matter? In the West, we think it's about the postures. We think it's about the body. We think it's a form of fitness. It has all those effects, but that's not really what it's about. It's about the mind, and it's about human freedom. And the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali codified yoga for us. The yogis were already practicing for umpteen years. But somewhere around 2,000 years ago, Patanjali codified it for us. He wrote down what the yogis were already doing. It's 196 short little sayings about what yoga is. And every single one of them is hugely impactful for human freedom. Now, I am not a Yoga Sutras scholar. I'm intentionally not so. I'm trained as an academic and I could turn it into head knowledge. I don't want to do that, right? What I've done is I dip into them. I don't know all of them backwards and forwards, and some of them are harder to understand than others. We don't need to understand all of it to start to make use of it in our lives. For example, when I studied with one yoga teacher, Judith Lasser, she's the queen of restorative yoga, we spent an entire week on the first sutra, an entire week investigating in the postures, in the practice, the meaning of the first sutra, which just says, now begins the practice of yoga. But it means more than we think. Right? It's not tomorrow, it's not later, and it's yoga, and it's not something else. And there's a whole wealth of meaning just behind that first sutra. When I say there's short sayings, I really mean it. But every one of them is impactful for how we can live our lives and how we can be free in our lives and in our companies. Because if we're not free in our world, we're not in our lives. If we're overwhelmed, like Dyson, like I'm overwhelmed and my mind is, you know, she didn't say this, but some of you are saying like my mind is scattered and I want focus. We're not going to be free in our companies either. So they have investigated human freedom. And of these 196 short sayings, guess how many, some of you know the answer. If you know the answer, don't say. How many of them are about the yoga postures that we think yoga is about in the West? Anyone want to venture a guess out of 196? Somebody guess if you don't know. Sherry, go ahead.
None of them.
Oh, very close, actually. That's a very wise guess. Three. The other 196 are about the larger part of what yoga is. And I want to just give you some of this by telling you what the second sutra says. If the first sutra says, now begins the practice of yoga, the second sutra says, it's in Sanskrit, yoga chittavritti nirodha. And it said that if we really understand this second sutra, we wouldn't even need all the rest of them. But we don't really get it. We hear the surface of the words, but we don't get it. What that the translation is, yoga is the stilling of the fluctuations of consciousness. Yoga is, by definition, stopping all that mind stuff. That is it at its essence. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about it. We might dive into it a little bit here and there. We'll get into it in the different time, like the other two times that we come back to yoga through our year. Those dates are on your calendar. We're going to form the basis here, and these other classes are going to build on what we learn here, right? We can't learn everything in a day. I've been studying for almost 20 years very regularly, and I can't do it all in a day, but I want to give you the most important pieces first. And so yoga is the stilling of fluctuations of consciousness. Now, I also want to tell you that there are different chapters in the Yoga Sutras. There are four different chapters called padas. The first one is kind of like for those people who are already enlightened, right? Who are already completely free and are like, oh, great. Thanks a lot. What are the rest of us supposed to do? Right? So if you really understood, if we really understood the yoga, you say that second sutra, we wouldn't even need the rest. And it's kind of some high level teachings, right? The second chapter, thank goodness for the second chapter, for us, for our purposes as entrepreneurs and freedom seeking people, the second chapter is crucial. Because it's like, what about for the rest of us mere mortals who aren't enlightened yet, whose minds sometimes wander? It's like, what are we supposed to do? The second chapter is all for us, right? The third chapter is about special powers. Now you could take this as kind of thoughts from early yogis, and or you could, some people take it as just ideas about human consciousness. Some people take it as literal. It's a chapter on special powers. It says, as we practice further, we gain special powers. We can read people's minds. We can do all kinds of stuff. Some of you might go, well, that's not so. I don't care if you believe that as a belief or not. But if you think about it, even at like, I am a very introductory practitioner compared to the yogis. I'm like here, do you get it? And I've been studying for 20 years. But people tell me when they meet me, sometimes they go like, how did you read my mind, right? And so even at that everyday level, as we practice more and we gain more focus and we know ourselves, we might get closer to being able to read minds. Do you get it? So we could read those special powers as things that we could do when we gain access to all of who we are in a deeper way. Right? And the fourth chapter around about freedom, right? So the chapter two really matters to us. And the beginning of chapter two, so I told you the definition of yoga, it's stopping all that mind stuff. And I think in a recent call, I gave you something of the beginning of chapter two. Remember, chapter two matters to us. Chapter two, the first sutra is Tapasvadhyaya Ishvara Pranidhana Nikriya Yogaha. What it means is burning zeal in practice, self-study and study of, Iyengar translates it, study of scriptures, whatever the highest is, study of something that is uplifting to you, put it that way. And surrender to God are the acts of yoga. For some of you, you're going to love that. Some of you are going to go, surrender to God, that's not my faith. Surrender to the highest in you, surrender to the highest power. Different people translate it differently. Surrender to all of my, surrender to the universe, surrender to something bigger, right? So so what I want to underline is burning zeal. We need tapas. We need to go for it, right? We need to study ourselves. How are we going to focus if we don't even know what's going on in our minds? We need to study what the others have taught us about it, right? And surrender to something bigger. Remember the whole opening series in a way could be about, we could say is Ishvara Pranidhanani. It's like there's something bigger going on. Let me tap into that. Otherwise, I'm going to be working way too hard. That's what yoga is about. Very different idea than just I'm supposed to touch my toes and be more flexible when I'm running. Right? So I wanted to give you that higher, broader understanding of what yoga is about. And yoga, again, whatever your faith background, I mentioned Father Joe, he's a Catholic priest, and he thinks of Mother Teresa and Iyengar as his like guiding lights, right, on other, of people on the planet, you know? So it doesn't belong to just one faith. It has spiritual roots in a tradition that is not even mine, but that we can gain access to how we live freely by understanding the whole of what yoga is. And in the next block, we're actually going to be moving our bodies. And I want to tell you just briefly about Iyengar yoga. Iyengar yoga says like that we move through the body to gain access to the mind. Iyengar yoga is quite particular about where we place our bodies. Because on a practical, so I just want to give you this background, then we're going to take a break. On a practical level, if I keep doing a forward bend, but I'm like hunched over like computer slouch, and I practice yoga for 30 years that way, I'm doing harm. If I don't know what it is to open my heart center actually. So I want to know how my body is in space, even for very practical reasons. I want to practice for till I'm 130. Then for other reasons, like the deeper level reasons, when my body is in pieces and I can't, my body is not behind me, how am I going to focus my mind? I can go through my body to find that deeper, meditative, laser-focused alignment of my mind so I don't get scattered, so I don't get overwhelmed, so I can make appropriate decisions. We go through the body to the mind, heart, spirit. All right? All right, we're at the time that I said we're going to take a break. Much more of this as we come back. I think what we're going to do is I'll either say a few words and then we'll start to move, or we'll just start to move. And I will, at the beginning, I'll say at least a few words, because I want to tell you about how you can use the things in your home to start to move easily. So just have some space. I'm going to move to my yoga room. I'm going to show you my yoga room. I'll talk for 5 minutes. I'll talk for half an hour. I don't know, but we're going to move. Certainly in this next block, we're going to move. Be comfortable. Listen to your body. We're going to start really, really slowly. All right. Let's close this part of our, this first of four parts of our day with one word of a gift that you've received already, a word that you want to share. It might be focus, because focus matters, right? It might be light bulb. It might be whatever, heart. I don't know. One word, so that we close up in just 1 minute, and it's just going to go like this, like this, like this, like this, right? I'll name your name. Actually, no, you're just going to unmute as you do. And we'll have everybody speak within 1 minute, and then we'll take that break. One word that's a gift to give everybody, so we close up this part, and we go into our movement piece next.
Alignment.
Self-care.
Light bulb.
Focus.
Mindfulness.
Peace.
Unexpected.
Open heart.
Quiet mind.
Love that. Anyone we missed?
Quiet mind.
Quiet mind. Thank you. All right. We're getting a bit of noise on the line. I'm going to mute you all again. Thank you so much for being here for this first part. I will see you at, let's even start at 10 to, okay? We'll start at 10 to the hour. I want to give you that full half hour. Come back ready to gently move. All right. Make sure you've signed the waiver beforehand. We're not going to be doing handstands and stuff. It's just in integrity to make sure you've done that. All right. See you in a half an hour, everybody. Thanks so much.